You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Adam Bishop. I was trying to think of something. I had nothing.
There's
dirty comics.
For those of you that are going to listen to this as a podcast, there was a station ID before about the Trent Radio Desperado. I thought it was hilarious. So, in case you're not sure, it's Marty.
You're Martin.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Martin, Marty, Marvin. I answered to almost anything, except Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Isn't that like one of the greatest movies ever? Airplane? Come on now.
Never seen it. No. Only seen the highlights.
What? Yeah. Seriously, you guys have never seen Airplane?
No.
Striker. Okay.
Why is it that when somebody says they haven't seen a movie, the other person automatically goes into all the parts of the movie that they should have seen?
Exactly.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
No, it's out of context. You just look like a weirdo.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
Yes.
Where were you, born after 1980?
That's the one with the naked weapon. Wait.
Leslie Nielsen.
Is it Naked Gun he's in?
Yeah.
Haven't seen those movies either.
I've seen those.
He was in Forbidden Planet. He used to be like a real, honest-to-gosh, leading man actor.
Now he's dead. Is he dead?
I think he's passed.
Forbidden Planet, man. When I saw that, I was blown away because he's so young. And dashing, handsome young man.
It was a good flick, too, back then.
Yeah, it was pretty good, pretty good.
I liked it. And Anne Francis.
Is that a lady?
Yes.
Who is it?
Yes, it was a lady. She was real birdie.
And then she got old.
She got real birdie. Oh, well, even later on, she was in, she used to be on like Love Boat and stuff like that.
Okay.
The show that actors went to die.
I didn't grow up with black and white TV. Like
she was
so
pretty. She was still a lovely lady. I did have a black and white TV. Never mind.
I had a black and white TV, I think.
Yeah.
But it was like a portable, like, you know, like 10-inch one or something in my room as a kid.
My first memory is the TV in the living room was a color cabinet TV, and the spare TV was a black and white. But it got replaced pretty quick.
Yeah, we probably had black and white. I just don't remember.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
My family was poor.
Oh, I think even poor people had color TV by then.
By the 80s, probably.
By the 80s, yeah. No, I was saying in the kitchen, I went to the doctor today. I turned 50 last year, and I'm like, oh, I guess there's like stuff you got to do. He's like, oh, yeah. When was the last time you got a tetanus shot? I'm like, I don't know. 30 years ago? 40 years ago? I don't know. Last time I remember getting a shot was in school, so he's like, okay, well, you're getting one of those. And you get one of these for shingles, and you're getting one of these, and we're going to take blood samples for this, and we're going to change this, and we're going to check your blood pressure, and we're going to shove this up your bum, and we're going to do this, and we're going to take this camera picture in here. And I can't remember whether it was 6 or 7 appointments, follow-up appointments I walked away with. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've expired. Anyways, hey, comic books. Should we talk about comic books at some point in time today?
No.
Yes.
No.
Takes us
You're outvoted 2-1.
There you go.
What?
So
it's okay. You guys didn't see Airplane, and I bet you didn't read Doomsday Clock either.
I read the first two to three issues, but that's it.
But I have questions. Where's Gilpin when you need him?
Well, what are your questions?
Chris is very sick.
I have questions. Yes, Chris is dying. We were saying that his pneumonia has the flu. No, it just, like, I finally, I was like you, right? Read the first couple of issues, and then it was getting later and later and later and later. So I just like, no, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to save it up. And once it actually comes out, all 12 issues, I'll sit down and read all 12 issues. And I didn't realize that was going to be a 2-year experience.
Yeah.
Holy moly. But they finally came out, and I read them all, and it was a good story. I don't, you know, there are Alan Moore fanatics out there that are like, no, Alan Moore wrote the greatest graphic novel ever. That was for you, Chris. And it is the greatest work of fiction ever, should never be touched. It's almost religious-like. It should be treated like the Quran or the Bible. This is the greatest thing ever. And if you even want to make a Pez dispenser, you are somehow defiling Alan Moore. I don't buy into that. Forget you. The DC Comics owns the character. You had a bad lawyer. You signed a contract. You knew exactly what was happening. You can't just sit there now and go, me, 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 I'm taking my ball and going home.
Like, he also does that with everything he does, though. Like, he doesn't want his name on anything to do with anything.
Well, the story...
Any of the movies.
Yeah, the story is that this soured him on DC, so he hates DC. And then when DC bought Wildstorm, he was involved with the Legend imprint. He got bitter about that, and just whatever. Okay, anyways. So the Watchmen TV show comes out.
Yeah.
And just before, everybody was doing the same thing. Oh, Watchmen. Oh, it's sacrosanct. You can't touch the Watchmen. Oh, it's going to be, the TV show's going to be horrible. The TV show's going to suck. And almost unanimously, everyone's like, no, this TV show was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. It was fantastic.
I haven't watched it yet, but I have subscribed to Creative for the month. Yeah. So I'm going to try and binge it.
So it was pretty good. So Doomsday Clock comes out. It's a sequel, so to speak, to Watchmen. It was supposed to kind of like be like Crisis on Infinite Earths, tidy up a few things, make things a little more sensical, bring things back to the way they were, explaining, you know, how exactly Batman was only a Batman for 5 years and he had 6 Robins. You know, it was going to clean all that stuff up. But because it was so late, and because of the influx of Mr. Bendis, who kind of like changed the direction that the DC ship is going in, Dan DiDio, the publisher, has basically said, well, it kind of counts, maybe. Not all the concepts we introduced into it are going to like enter continuity.
It's like Secret Wars 3 all over again. Right.
Yeah, and so now it's like, okay, then why did we bother? Like, was this just a good story that we're supposed to enjoy? Well, I didn't. It took me 2 years to get all the books. It was a pain in the bottom constantly looking at them in my to-read pile.
You could have looked away.
I changed my bags and boards twice since it started, and it did that. So now I'm like, okay.
So two thumbs up.
Yeah, the series was good. I liked it. I don't care what anyone says. It introduced a couple of new characters, which are kind of cool characters. It's fun. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Spoilers. Apparently, Firestorm is a government agent, government creation.
Okay.
I mean, who reads Firestorm? When was the last time Firestorm was relevant? It's like half the people that died in Final Crisis. Who the heck were they? Some kind of, like, fish boy? I don't remember him. You guys didn't read that either.
Oh, Final Crisis? I love Final Crisis.
Is that the one where he's...
No, Heroes in Crisis. I'm thinking Heroes in Crisis. Sorry. No,
didn't read that one either.
No. Final Crisis, that's the one with Darkseid, right?
Yeah.
No, sorry. No, Heroes in Crisis.
That was back during my prime DC readership, Final Crisis.
Oh, my gosh. My prime DC readership is, like, failing miserably. This happened with just before New 52, more and more of my books were being less and less DC. Like, in case anybody doesn't know, I'm a DC Comics guy. I feel like that's redundant to say that, but fewer and fewer of my books were DC and more Marvel, more and more. I think I can't remember at the time. It was probably, I would say probably a lot of Image. New 52 came out. Oh, great. All my books. Every single book that I was getting was DC Comics. Every single book. And I hate to admit it, but I think I get about right now I'm at 21 books a month. And last year I was at a high of 48 books a month. So I get a lot of comics, right? And it dropped off. It fell apart. And again, more Marvel, less DC, more other publishers. And then Rebirth happened. And I'm like back into the DC. And now I'm noticing less and less DC again. You know, it keeps falling off.
And then Doomsday Clock happened, and that was supposed to do the same.
It was supposed to do the same, supposed to reboot everything, but now they're like, oh, well, can we? Maybe?
Now, was the story enjoyable, at least, that if there are no consequences for it, you still enjoyed reading it?
No, because, like I said, there was the delay. I felt rushed. Well, once I got them, I felt like, oh, I gotta pound these out so I can talk to somebody that read it as well at the next radio show, you jerk.
And neither one of us.
You did that to yourself.
You know? But I think I probably will. Like, I reread the Watchmen trade at least once a year, if not twice.
So for people who've only read the first trade and then seen the movie and watched the TV show, is it something good for them to latch on to as well?
Yeah, I think it's all right. Okay. I think it's okay. So I think I probably will buy it, and I'll read it at least once in one sitting, and because it was a good enough story. It was all right. Art was great, of course. I think it was Gary Frank that did the art, if I'm not mistaken. Was it?
He definitely did some of the art.
Yeah, and the art was pretty consistent, looked good. It's not like they jammed a whole bunch of fill-in artists to butcher it and stuff, so it was okay.
I have to go full Sam.
Okay.
Today, because my headphones aren't working.
Okay.
They're not plugged in?
They are plugged in. Uh-oh. They're just not. They're replacement headphones, and they're not up to standard, and I can't hear anything.
Okay. Well,
so,
I know what you should do then.
Sam.
I'm going to get a pillow so I can take a nap while you talk about the next topic. Go ahead, Dan.
What?
Dan's going to talk about.
I was going to talk about Doctor Who.
Okay.
Doctor Who.
Have you watched the new episodes?
I have. Marty? I think yeah. I'm. How many have there been? Two or three?
Three. There's the two-parter and then the third episode.
Was the third episode about the vacation planet?
Yes.
Yes. I've seen all three then.
I've seen all three as well. Mm-hmm. That's also why I purchased Crave for the month because I thought that it would be streaming on Crave. Turns out it's not. Now I'm stuck with Crave for a month and have to find other means of watching Doctor Who. I thought the first two-parter was really pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed the twist. The twist reveal was interesting. And
it was a twist.
Yes. And the actor playing that part was very good. I don't remember his name.
Go ahead, spoil it.
Spoil it, yeah. They reveal the master for the first time since we saw Missy die. Back in like Capaldi's final episodes.
I thought Missy was a pretty good master.
I thought she was pretty good too, yeah.
What's a master?
He is he's a Time Lord like Doctor Who. Why am I saying this?
What's a Time Lord?
Well, I think we should just go to the Doctor Who source.
Damn.
He's the Doctor's childhood friend who took the alternate path, which is evil.
Oh, like Doctor Doom and Reed Richards.
Yes.
Yeah.
If that's I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that one, but
yeah.
Yes,
Superman, Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
they weren't probably,
well,
kind of, but they're both from the planet Gallifrey. They're both Time Lords, and it was always the Doctor Who saving the universe, the Master's trying to destroy the universe.
And then once again, they brought it back to the Christopher Eccleston days, where now Gallifrey is gone again in ruins because this time the Master destroyed Gallifrey. After, you know, they spend 10 years bringing Gallifrey back. That is what it is.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
The one part that I liked about it, which is what our number one complaint was of last season, was that Jodie Whittaker was more involved as a character in the stories. She was the Doctor.
Yeah.
She was doing Doctor-ish things, as opposed to being this little bit player in the background as all the companions took center stage.
Yeah, instead of being a fourth member of the cast, she was front and center. So, and also, you know, there was more. My big complaint this time last year was that the Doctor Who didn't feel like Doctor Who. It was missing something vital, and I called it the magic of Doctor Who. But I feel like they have the magic back. They've found the certain element that was missing before. You know, instead of pretending to be the Doctor, I feel like we're watching Doctor Who again.
Yeah. Like, I thought episode 3 was a very, very stereotypical Doctor Who episode.
It was,
you pretty much could have played that exact episode with any one of the other casts, like any of the other Doctors, any of the other casts.
Yeah.
And would have been the same story, and it would have been just as good. Like, I think if you had replaced... I mean, I know she's got a few more companions than some of the Doctors did, but the first Doctor, he had a whack.
Yep. He had Susan, his granddaughter, and Ian and Barbara. So there was four.
Yeah, and that's how many Jody has, right? It's four.
Four.
So I mean, it's been done before. It was exactly what I expected from a Doctor Who episode. You know,
one of the things that I liked about the second episode was that they introduced a couple of little known historical figures that were like role model type women that I thought it was interesting and stuff that, like, you know, if you people that you can look into and see that they actually are, like, were, you know, actually pivotal in certain sectors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was a really cool just like little thing.
Yeah, that's kind of always neat when they do that, like that Vincent van Gogh episode.
Yeah,
is just epic. I mean, if you ever want to cry while watching a TV show, watch that Vincent Van Gogh episode where they bring Vincent Van Gogh and what's the actor's name? Bill Nye?
Bill Nighy, I think, Bill is Nighy? How they pronounce it, yes.
He's he's a curator in the Van Gogh Museum, and he's explaining Van Gogh to Van Gogh, and it's like, whoa. Like, it was great. It was fantastic. So,
I literally have that as the top episode of any television show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that ranks that highly to me.
So it's fun when they bring in historical characters like that. Like, when they brought in Queen Victoria and the Doctor became, like, I don't know what he was like a knight almost? Or like a special secret agent?
Banished from the realm or whatever. So that was the werewolf one, right?
Yeah. So it was nice. Well, they kind of redid that theme a few times in a few episodes where he was kind of Victoria's, I don't know, agent is the right word, but there was always the, oh, you're the Doctor. And the Queen says you're cool, so I have to, like, do whatever you want. But yeah, it was nice when they brought those two historical characters. I have to admit, I'm not 100% sure who they are.
I can't remember their names now, but I did watch the BBC on BBC America or the Doctor Who Instagram page, whichever one of them did a like video about the real life people the day after, and I watched that.
This one was a pretty prominent physicist, wasn't she? Mathematician, physicist?
Yes, like one of the, an early mathematician.
Yeah. I can't remember who the other lady was.
And then the other one was a resistance fighter during World War II.
Right. Right. In France with the
code breaking
and stuff.
Yes. Now, keeping on Doctor Who for a moment, we'll wake Adam up later. For Christmas, I got the Blu-ray set of Colin Baker's second season, Trial of the Time Lord.
I haven't bought that yet, only because I still haven't watched the second Tom Baker set.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched the first Peter Davidson set. I have them, but I haven't watched them. So I'm like, okay, I'm already two box sets behind. Do I buy the third one or do I wait?
You do, and then you binge it.
And then I binge it. Yeah.
And that's what I did. I got that for Christmas, I think. And I had watched the whole thing over the course of 2 or 3 days. And I've seen it before. Like, I have all the episodes already. So a lot of times it's, you know, I have the Davison season, and I haven't watched that one yet because I started watching it, and I think I had, it was still too fresh in my mind, and I wasn't ready to rewatch it yet. But yeah, the Colin Baker one I watched, and it's, you know what, I think they should have just released the entire Colin Baker era as one Blu-ray set because it's only one other season. You know, it would have been great to get the complete Colin Baker era in one go. Same with like Sylvester McCoy. He has his season is the next one up on the docket. the final season of Doctor Who, I believe.
And they've also announced a third Tom Baker.
And that one, I was really hoping the next. So the third Tom Baker season is the next season to be released from his era. And I was hoping they were going to release the second season, because the second Tom Baker season is one of my favorites. Lots of really fantastic episodes in that one. However, the third season, I will watch it because it has a couple episodes, couple stories that I've bought but never watched, because I'm a huge Sarah Jane Smith fan. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of saving a couple of her stories to watch at a future date. So there's still a couple, her final two stories I haven't watched yet. So when the season comes out, it contains those stories. So I'll watch those and then get sad.
Because Tom Baker was the doctor that I watched as a kid.
Yeah.
On TVO. He's the one I remember. I don't remember seeing a single episode of Colin Baker. I may have seen one or two episodes with Peter Davidson, but and Sylvester McCoy, I haven't seen a single one. No, that's not true. They popped on Netflix for a bit, didn't they?
Some of them were for a little bit, but
I think I may have seen the one episode No, I didn't see it. No, I know where I saw him from. The Doctor Who movie, the American movie.
Yes.
Wasn't he at the very beginning and they showed his regeneration to the new Doctor? Yes.
Yeah, to Paul McGann.
That's where I saw him. That's where I saw him.
Well, you should pick up the Sylvester McCoy season when it comes out. It's an okay season.
All right.
But
we'll do that.
I need to, yeah. So I'm currently watching the John Pertwee season that came out in October. Rewatching that one.
Yeah, I think I bought that one.
Has one of my all-time favorite Doctor Who stories, which is the Three Doctors, as the opening story for that one, where they bring back Hartnell and Troughton for one story, which was William Hartnell's last Doctor Who appearance, and possibly, I think, his last acting appearance.
Was that Pertwee's first season?
That was his third season,
I think. So has there been two Pertwee box sets?
No, only one Pertwee box set so far.
Ooh, I'm confused. I think I might have to fire up that DVD app we were talking about.
Marty's confused. Adam's bored.
I'm not bored. I'm learning.
You're learning. You should watch the show.
It's going in one ear out the other.
You're horrible.
Who's Colin Baker?
Yeah.
So you said, yeah, there you go.
He was a doctor.
He was the sixth doctor.
Cool.
Cool. You know what's really stupid? Here's two great stupid moments of my life.
How proud
I was the first time that I could remember all the doctors.
Okay.
I remember literally
how many prime ministers do you know?
Current ones.
Current ones, yeah. What was the other proud moment?
The other proud moment was when I was able to remember the entire Green Lantern Oath for the first time.
Oh, that's nice.
Both times I remember lying in bed, like going through it in my head, trying to remember as like, just like, come on, you like these guys. What is it? You've got to know what it is. But yes.
I don't remember anything.
I remember like feeling this triumphant surge of willpower the first time I remember the entire Green Lantern Oath.
Green Lantern's nice. They made a movie out of that. Speaking of movies and comic book movies, guys. Segue. Do you know what comic book movie I'm excited for right now? That's coming out to DVD next month?
To DVD? No.
Sorry. Not next month, but 2 months away. Dan knows.
I know, because he told me and I got really confused.
I'm super excited for the Veronica movie coming to DVD.
Veronica?
Veronica.
Oh, Veronica.
The Veronica movie's from Glenn Danzig.
There you go.
If anybody likes his comic, which, yes, I'm going to read the description of the movie, which it's a lie. Based on Dan, I'm going to do it again. Glenn Danzig's hugely successful comic book series, Veronica, which I think is a lie. Does anybody really know what that comic book series is?
When Adam...
I have a couple of issues.
Yeah, I have a bunch. Yeah.
Adam told me earlier, and I was like, they're making an Archie movie? And he goes, no, Veronica.
Veronica.
Like, oh.
It's a portmanteau of violent and erotica.
Are those a few of your favorite things?
They are.
Singing a song there.
Ugh. So yeah, I'm super pumped for the movie. It's been in, I guess, development for a while. And
It's still just in development.
Oh, it looks horrible, and I'm so excited. It looks like, you know, when they make movies and they have like a nice movie filter on it, it doesn't look like a home video. This looks like a home video. And a lot of the current previews and I guess early reviews are saying it's the next The Room.
And so bad that it's good.
Yeah, so that's promising.
I've never seen The Room.
What is oh, that's Veronica.
Verotica?
Verotica.
V-E-R-O-T-I-K-A.
Yeah, and Amazon's like, nah, I don't know. No, oh, here right it is. There. Here we go.
For I think it was for a day when they announced it. It was the number one DVD/Blu-ray on Amazon.com.
All I have is
how many copies all did you all buy I have is to DVD. Help
it's
to that?
It's three discs, DVD, Blu-ray, and the audio CD. So the soundtrack for it. So it is a Blu-ray.
For $26.19?
Yeah, I pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered that along with my 4K copy of Waterworld.
Why does it say DVD only?
Slowly
I
don't know. Shakes head.
I don't want it if it's DVD only.
No, it's not. It's three. It says three discs. It's
number of discs, three. Format NTSC, all regions.
Go to the description.
I did.
It looks like it's all three. Anyways, yeah.
If I get this as DVD only, I can like yell at you.
I'll open my copy first.
First of all, you can yell at him for mentioning it and making you waste your money.
No, it's a comic book movie. It's based on a comic book. Yeah, it says it's based on three. It's an anthology, three short stories from the comics. I don't know which ones. I'm hoping it's the one by Grant Morrison. He wrote one of the stories. Yeah, are you gonna get it? You should get it.
Yeah, of course I'm going to get it.
Look at this.
Of course I'm going to get it.
See, I'm super pumped about that. And the other thing that I know that I'm excited about, that Martin wants to talk about, is I'm excited about Fight Girls.
I'm on a radio show.
10 women, 4 challengers, 1 crown.
Purchasing stuff on Amazon instead of doing what I'm supposed to be doing and being on the show.
This is the live shopping network. Yep. The radio shopping network.
So I'm excited for the written and drawn comic Fight Girls that Martin made me see through the AWA website.
So before we get into that.
Oh, no.
Let's just talk about AWA in the first place.
Yeah, good.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Frank Joe.
Okay, so I walk into the comic shop, and they're like, hey, weirdo, you like weird shit. I'm like, yeah. Here, look at this. What is this? I'm like, I don't know what this is. Let me take a look. So Alex gives me these catalogs, and it's AWA something, on-shot or one-shot or... Slashshot. Anyways, doesn't matter. And it's issue 0 and issue 1. Thick, kind of manga-sized, black and white comics. I'm like, what is this? So I'm like perusing. I'm like, oh, it's a catalog for a new publisher. Okay, yeah. Big deal. I mean, you know, this art's pretty good. I'm digging this. I'm digging that. It's only in black and white because it's just a catalog. And I'm like, wait a sec. This says J. Michael Straczynski. Well, wait a sec. This says Garth Ennis. This says Frank Cho. I'm like, these are big names in comic books. Who is this? So I'm trying to figure out who this AWA is, and it's Artists, Writers, and Artisans, Inc., or publishing group. And they're going to be publishing comic books. And I'm like, okay, got to dig deeper. Who the heck are these guys? They got these big name creators. All of a sudden, it's like Bill Jimenez, Jimas? Guys don't remember.
Yep.
He's the CEO, and I'm like, okay, he was involved in Marvel for decades. I can't remember whether he was the president of Marvel for a while or just a publisher. So he's been around forever. And then Alex Alonso was the editor of Marvel Comics who replaced Joe Quesada when Joe Quesada got promoted. And then he subsequently got replaced by Tom Brevoort. And so Alex Alonso, I'm like, okay, so he was basically editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. Like, this is a company that I knew nothing about, probably because it's American, right? And I'm following more of the Canadian independent stuff. No idea who these guys are. And all of a sudden, it's like, here's some books. And I'm like, oh! So I'm looking through the catalog, and they have 4 issues solicited for release in March. 3 months ahead, March or April. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's in this month's previews. So if you go to the comic shop, you can actually order this stuff today. And the one, I'm trying to remember what issues they were. One was called, this was weird, it was called Hotel, but it's spelled H-O-T-E-L-L because the O is missing and the T is missing in the neon sign that says Hotel, and then somebody spray paint an L. So it's like Hotel Hell. So we looked under hotel. It wasn't there. We looked under hotel hell. It wasn't there. We looked under hell hotel. It wasn't there. Finally, I'm like, oh, it's got to be here somewhere. And somebody did a Google search and found hotel with the two L's. And as soon as you shove that into the diamond, diamond's like, yep, here you go. There's one called Archangel, which Chris Ellis is going to just freak out. He's basically the Punisher, but he's an angel. So he's literally got, you know, the load-bearing vest full of ammo, grenades, the M16 with the M209 grenade launcher on the bottom, just... And then in the last scene, his wings come out, and he's like... And I'm like, oh, Ellis will love this. Another one called Red Border, and another one called The Resistance. So I ordered all four. I just, like, give them to me. And then the one you're talking about is Fight Girls.
Yes.
By Frank Cho.
When I saw the cover, I'm like, that looks like Cho, and I... click on my like, yeah. It is Cho.
It is Cho. So, do you got a synopsis and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you go and explain that. I've been talking too much today. I gotta go back to Amazon.
Yeah, it's about 10 women who are fighting to get the crown to rule the empire. And that's it so far, what I can tell. There's a bunch of pages. Like, obviously, the art's amazing, as it always is with Cho. And it's just beautiful women. Fighting, I guess, monsters. These look like tigers, like space tigers.
Space tigers. It's space tigers.
Yeah, it's written and drawn by Cho.
Yeah, so it's basically Survivor, only nothing but women, and it's to the death.
Yeah, they're all fighting for the title of Queen of the Galaxy.
There you go.
Have to survive hazard. So it's like Hunger Games, but Cho style.
Oh. Let's call it Fortnite.
Fortnite? Oh, it's like no. Fortnite, it's like Fortnite, but Cho style. But with like... Amazonian women with little clothing.
On the website, it's in color.
Yeah.
This was in black and white. Oh, Cho likes the booty.
He does.
He likes drawing big bottom women. Oh, my tablet just said, your Amazon order. Oh, my gosh. This looks fantastic. It's like some kind of weird hyena leopard lion cross, and they got to beat the snot out of it. Everybody's wearing like a number on their jersey. And when I say jersey, I'm being a bit generous.
Tube top.
Almost tube top. There's a little collar on it. Yeah, I messaged Grey Guardian and be like, hey, can you add this to my pull list? Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, you don't even have anything on your pull list. I'm like, I do now.
I do now. I want Fight Club.
I have a pull list, quotation marks, at Grey Guardian.
Nothing
and
in it.
Consists of monstrous sunken treachery.
Yeah,
sunken
I ordered
treachery
that.
With A. Shea Han doing the art on that.
Yeah, the one shot. That looked pretty good.
So,
now the other title from AWA that I'm looking at is Bad Mother. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw that one.
April Walters is a hit and run victim of life, a soccer mom whose inner fire has been snuffed out by her dreary suburban existence. When her teenage daughter goes missing under mysterious circumstances, April, I've got a special set of skills. So she's, I can't even.
Do you see what it says in the bottom right hand corner of the comic?
What, to be announced?
It says, Baking Bad.
Oh, on the cover, yes. I mean, I'm sorry, DC, more books are getting cut. I mean, I was already all in on a lot of the stuff Ahoy does, and Aftershock's releasing two or three new titles this month, and I love my Aftershock books. And now this AWA is here, I'm like, oh, more money, here you go. And there's no capes. Where's the superheroes? Where's Wally West? Jerks.
I'm okay with this. This is great.
I mean, they look great. Did you take a peek at the catalog or something?
No,
you don't want to be enticed by
My current regular pull list
is enough.
Is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There you go.
And that's it because DC canceled all the like. The Teen Titans Go and Scooby-Doo Team Up and Scooby-Doo that I got pulled and Chapter House doesn't release monthly comics anymore.
No.
And I canceled Daredevil last time I was in because I haven't read 12 issues. So I just said like, hey, I'm not going to pick this up after you finish what you've already ordered for me. Yeah. Thanks.
Chop, chop. Cut, cut.
Even though, you know, it might be good. I don't know.
Cut, cut, chop, chop.
I did read some comics over the Christmas break.
Right on.
I read, the thing is, I have been getting Ninja Turtles pulled, but I haven't been reading it. I have read one issue since I started getting it pulled with issue 43. We're currently at issue 99. I've pulled 50 plus issues without reading an issue. But I read some issues.
Wait, so you have a stack of 50 Ninja Turtle comics?
Yeah, yeah. But he hasn't read.
Yeah.
I would mock you, except my
Martin's
my to-read pile is massive. And I don't have 50 issues of a single
one title.
To read,
yeah, that's horrible.
But I got an entire short box full.
That's like 4 years of buying comics without reading one.
Yeah,
it's but bad. I saw somebody I follow on Instagram posted that they really liked the latest Ninja Turtles story arc, City at War. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. And so I pulled out the City at War story arc, and it was 7 issues, and I read the whole thing. And you know what? Leading up to issue 99, where they killed the Shredder off in previous issues, and then, of course, they're going to resurrect him in issue 100, which I still have to get to the comic book store to buy. And
right on.
So.
I'm still surprised to this day that I haven't gravitated towards the Turtles at all. Like, I barely have read any Turtles. I don't understand why.
I still remember, like, I literally remember sitting on the couch and scrolling through eBay and seeing a Ninja Turtle slab and going, ah, I'm such an idiot. Why have I never bought Ninja Turtles comics? Because I love Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought a couple slabs at that point and then started collecting the current series.
Like, I was too old for the toys, but I was like right there prime for when the books were being published. And I think I was just allergic to black and white comics at the time because there were so many of them. And I'm like, comic books have been in color since the 50s. So why aren't these black and white? I don't like them. I want to see my pixelated skin tone, red dots. I want color. The only reason I can think of.
Kevin Eastman's, the art isn't the greatest in the old ones.
Oh, but it's
okay.
It's funky. Oh, it's quaint. You look at it and you're like, oh, put his heart and soul into that.
It's funky.
I think Adam and I had disagreements on the Ninja Turtles, the Turtle Power documentary.
Oh, I loved it.
Because I thought it was really boring. It was informative, but boring.
Here's the thing with me. I have a really bad memory where I can watch something 5 times and I'll forget about what's in it other than like the small parts I take in. So something like that I've seen like 7-8 times and I don't remember watching scenes from it. So I love documentaries, so... That's like, my bias. I have a bad memory, and I think there's something wrong with me.
Because I watched that, because super interested in Turtles and wanting to get the whole story about how it came about and stuff, and I watched it, and I was, like, super pumped for it. And then I was like, I guess I know the information now, but, like, it was boring. And then you watch something like the He-Man episode of The Toys That Made Us, and that I could tell you so many facts from that because they did it in a good manner and it sticks out to me.
See, I watched Turtle Power on Netflix, and then I pre-ordered it on DVD because it wasn't out yet. I'm like, I'll buy this, which I did.
And I did the opposite. I saw it in the store and then went home and watched it on Netflix.
I think I may have watched that one. I'm not sure. Is that the one where at the end of the thing they get Eastman and Lard together? And they have that really kind of awkward kind of...
I don't remember.
Hey, we're here.
Aren't they doing a project together for the first
time? Well, that's what they kind of announced, but whether it's actually happening or not.
It'd be non-Turtles since they sold it off, right? Like, both of them sold off everything,
but Eastman
right?
still writes the Turtles. Mm-hmm. So, like, even if he did sell the rights off, he still...
And Lard, when he sold it, he saved, if I recall correctly, he saved the rights to be able to create independent Turtles comics anytime he wants.
Oh, that's good.
That's a clause that you should put in your contract when you...
Alan Moore's like, creator. Oh, that's a great idea.
Alan Moore's like, this is BS.
Why did I use my brother-in-law as my lawyer?
Is that what he did?
Why am I so cheap?
I know, but his lawyer owes him billions.
Adam just can't wait to show some porn or something.
It's
over
not
here.
Porn.
He's
been, there
he's
is
been flashing it over at us
no,
all night.
I want to bring this DVD set because Martin and I briefly talked about some of these movies the other last week, which is Deathstalker 1, Deathstalker 2.
Did Roger Corman really do Barbarian Queen?
I think I don't know if he did them. It's part of like there's dozens of Roger Corman DVD sets. This is just one that when I ordered it, I was like, I need this now.
Sword and Sorcery Collection, Deathstalker, Deathstalker 2, Barbarian Queen, and The Warrior and the Sorceress. And I have to admit, I have owned all 4 of them on VHS.
I cannot for the life of me find cheap copies of Deathstalker three or four.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing 80s Conan sword and sorcery ripoff movies.
Oh, Lana Clarkson.
Yep.
I have a one-track mind. I apologize.
And then I brought one more DVD. This is a comic book documentary.
But this was a good DVD.
Yes, this one is Sex in the Comics.
Oh, I watched that.
This is great.
I watched that. This is the one with all those, like, almost everybody. Yes.
Yeah.
This was on, this was either on Amazon Prime or Hulu. I watched this.
I bought it on YouTube, I guess Google Video, whatever it is. But I bought the digital copy because you couldn't find it anywhere on DVD. And then finally I found it on eBay, I think through the manufacturer. So I was super pumped to find it because whenever there's a comic book documentary, if I can buy it on disc, I get it in right away.
Yeah, for sure. This is a DVD-R.
Cool. I'm okay with it.
So you literally paid for.
I have a bunch of DVD-Rs that I paid for.
Yeah, like if you're buying it straight from the documentary creator,
yeah,
it's extremely possible that you get this. Because my Doomed, I got the documentary about the Fantastic Four. It was a DVD-R.
I have that too.
By
the same guy who did the Grant Morrison documentary.
Yeah. This was good comic.
Yeah, that's great. Dan, get it.
Sex in Comics with COMIX.
Not for kids.
No.
Got some
a sexy revealing journey into the heart of erotic comic strips.
Yep.
I'm positive I saw it on either Amazon Prime, Netflix, or Hulu. I can't remember which.
And then I brought some modern day Tijuana Bibles with me.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so
do people even know what a Tijuana Bible these days? I don't think.
Dan, do you know what a Tijuana Bible is?
Maybe.
Let me tell you about my Doctor Who.
All right, let her rip.
So Tijuana Bibles are underground adult comics. So they're Xeroxed. I'll pass that one over to you. This is Animal Antics I have in my hand, which is Furry Frolic. And it's just, oh my God, these are great. They're so vulgar. But yeah, it's just comics that people would draw and then Xerox, print them out, fold them in half, staple them together, and then sell, I guess, to their buddies, whoever will buy them.
Yeah, or on the street corner or in head shops. And
like, and the art's great. These ones are from, I want to say Dexter Cockburn. I might got the name wrong, but
that is an amazing name for a guy who does.
The company is the Comics Company, I think.
Yeah, the Comics Company. Tell me that's really his name.
Based out of Vancouver.
Tell me that's really his name. Oh, Canadian Comics. Yeah. Oh.
These are Canadian comics. I have a stack of these.
It is literally Dexter Cockburn.
There you go. See? And yeah, these are
probably pronounced Coburn.
No.
Like
no,
Bruce no. Coburn.
No. No.
No, no. Bruce Coburn is C-O-B.
Yeah.
No, this
no.
is.
No, it's not.
So
it's spelled C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N.
There's an
as a man who, that's Tom Cochran you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
As somebody who's worked in a record store for 20 years, I know.
Yeah.
This is so vulgar, Adam.
I know.
This is.
Dan has the great Archie one.
I have the Archie ripoff that I'm not even going to describe what's happening
look,
in here.
Look at the back of it because it's in full color. Look at that ginger hair back there. His head. But yeah, so these are beautiful. If you go to their website, which it's probably in there somewhere, you can order them. I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order where I ordered like one of everything, so I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book box.
Right on.
That's below average.
So yeah, these are great, and I recommend everyone go grab some if you
slorsh. Slorsh is not an onomatopoeia that should appear in a comic book. Slorsh. Boing, I get. Boing, I understand. Spock. I needed to pronounce that one carefully. Spuck. Diddle. Splorsh. I feel like we're getting really close to words you're not allowed to say on the radio. Schlump. Thurb.
I wish that's I could a lot draw of like use. This.
Oh, it's hilarious. Dan's like, the filth.
They're. Well, at least mine was people.
It's Phil Flarn.
This other one is animals.
Yeah, that one's
animals. That's for all the furries. I just bought one of everything.
But why did you bring the furry one in? That's the question.
That one was in the A's, so I grabbed the first one, and then this one was in
Isn't this Veronica's dad?
Who's he with?
That's Veronica's dad, right?
I don't read Archie, I don't know.
Oh my.
Sam, we need Sam here now.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Onomatopoeias here aren't as good.
No. That one's more just about the actual characters, that's why.
Oh, who put characterization and story in porn? What is that all about? Oh, some of these look like they might be old. Like reprints of old
ones. He's definitely on Facebook and he'll share some of his drawings, which lots of assaults. It's like, hey, you get over here.
You're hot stuff, Archie Andrews.
Come. How much did you pay for your 5 inches of shame?
Oh. 5 inches of shame. I feel like that's what Mr. Weatherby's saying in this comic. I've got 5 inches of shame.
I don't know. It was a while ago. There's a slursh.
The best.
The slursh was the sound slursh. Your bank account made when it realized what it was buying.
Grop.
Oh my goodness. That's I don't know. Stuff.
I didn't pay, like, these are like $4, $5. That's how much you would buy them, like, off the website for that cost. So each. I didn't pay
$5 each.
$4 or $5 each. Yeah, I didn't pay that much.
I need to sell this guy an edge to edge printer. This white bar around it annoys me.
This is great.
No way, man. What's his name? I'll sell him a good printer.
Dexter.
You want to help him make better porn comics?
Yeah, so if you go to...
Adam can't afford them if they're better quality.
The comics company, comics with an X, .ecrater.com. Go, Martin. It's ecrater.com.
What are you talking about? I'm just going to take a picture.
Yeah. As he flips... Martin's flipping through multiple pages taking pictures.
I don't need to buy it anymore. I just photocopied it with my phone.
Hey, Adam, so when you run out of porn comics to bring in, like, are you going to go broke trying to keep shocking us by looking and searching out more porn comics?
I have ones at home that I look at. I'm like, I can't even bring that in. It's so disgusting. So, yeah, it's... I have, like, trades. I have, like, probably 50 trades at home of just different ones and then, single issues. You can get them on Amazon. It's fine.
Oh, but you gotta.
These are great. Okay,
like,
come on.
This is satire. This is not titillation. Somebody who buys.
It's only satire if you only read it.
Like if you buy a Playboy and get it sticky, you're not gonna read this comic book and get excited. This is fun and silly.
Even though it's very detailed.
Oh, you naughty wolf! You, like it's just. I think it's just funny. I think it's hilarious.
I'm more concerned with Adam's mental state.
I was a little bit critical on the art in this Archie one.
Yeah, that one's not.
Some of the art's a little rough.
But yeah,
the story on the back's not bad. But
the animal antics is really nice.
Oh, but I digress.
Oh, this sign says, "Flip your comic sideways, kids."
Do you need 3D glasses?
Wow. Oh, it's coming right at us.
All right. Dan.
Yes.
I'm going to assume that you have read at least this comic that I've read. Uplift. Did you read Uplift?
I have not read Uplift.
Afterlift.
Afterlift. Chip Zdarsky and Jason Liu.
Yeah, you haven't read that either?
No.
How am I going to talk to you about it if you haven't read it?
Well, talk to me about it and then I'll go. Is it like $4 an issue on Comixology?
No, $2.99.
$2.99? I might pick that up.
Yeah, it's $2.99. I subscribed.
Support a completely Canadian cast, as far as I know.
Yeah, I subscribe. So I think the latest issue is either dropping shortly or soon. Yeah. So I have issues 1, 2, and 3. I've only read issue 1. When did issue 3 come out? Maybe that's the one that just came out that I got the notice about. No, released December 11th. So issue 4 is on its way. Sooner than later. 25 pages each. Comixology original. I think it's a pretty good series, but again,
what's it about?
I would have thought it would be spoilerific, except they kind of spoiled it right on the cover of issue 1. But basically, you know how they used to take what's his name? Kareen, the Reaper guy. They'd give him coins and he would ferry your soul across the river.
Okay,
Styx.
Sure. Yep.
Well, they need to get to the river. And I guess in the old days they used to have, like, I don't know, a buggy or something like this. And well, they don't have that anymore. So the demonic people/agents of delivery hire Ubers and Lyfts. So this is about an Uber driver, and she gets a ride, gets a client, and the client is one of these demons, and they pick up a soul of a lady that drug overdosed, and they're transporting her, and it's pretty neat. It's a good story.
Yeah, no, it sounds kind of slightly like the latest Pitiful Human Lizard, where he's a food dash delivery guy.
Yeah. And it's got totally. It's got Jason Liu's sensibility, but, I mean, Chip Zdarsky wrote it, so I feel like they're kind of very similar senses of humor, the two of them. And it just reads like a good Jason Liu comic. Sorry, Chip. You know, it does.
That's good. Jason's big break into non-Canadian comics.
Well, it depends, because I mean it's being released by Comixology Originals, which is just a delivery platform. It's still, I think it's Jam and Jelly is the name of the publisher that Chip Zdarsky set up for this endeavor. Allison O'Toole's the editor.
Yeah,
like it's still a hit list of Canadian creators.
Yes,
so
completely.
Even Canadian, though it's getting, I'd say it's getting distributed by Amazon Comixology Originals, but I would still consider it a Canadian comic. I would.
Do you think it'll get a physical release?
Yeah, I was talking to Jason, and they're very confident that it'll have a trade paperback, a collected volume sold. So I'll definitely get that.
Yeah.
Add that to my ever-increasing...
read pile.
My shelf of Canadian trade paperbacks is now my 2.5 shelf of Canadian paperbacks.
I've got
trades and stuff.
Two shelves, Adam?
No, two Canadian trades. One is Captain Canuck, and the other one is Pitiful Human Lizard.
There you go.
But have you read them?
No. I'm too busy reading porn comics.
Did you subscribe to that Mr. Monster reprint?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was before I got into comics again, so I missed that one, even though nothing has ever come of that, right?
There is news, yes. Yeah. So, Rachel Ritchie and Hope Nicholson put together a reprint of Nilvana that we got. They did, Hope do Brock Windsor by herself or with Rachel?
Yeah, Hope is, Bedside Press put that, put Brock out.
And then
Brock
Rachel Windsor. Put another one out. What was that?
I don't know. Well, the Johnny Canuck came Johnny out
Canuck.
As well. But
yeah, so those are the ones. So it was Nilvana, it was Johnny Canuck. And I think they split up, and Hope went and did
Brock Windsor, Sally the Sleuth.
And, well, Sally Sleuth's not American, Canadian. But and then Rachel was going to do this Mr. Monster, but there were some delays, and Rachel got pregnant, and then some tragedy occurred in her family. And so the Kickstarter got really, really delayed. And, you know, like, give a girl a break. She is, like... Anyways, long story short, she never spent the money. She never blew it all. She had everybody's Kickstarter money together. Gave it all to Chapter House to publish. Of course, Chapter House is doing all their kind of restructuring and stuff like this. So she ended up giving it to Raid Studios.
Cool.
So the guys at Raid Studios are putting it out, and they're kind of touching up some of the pages and stuff like this and some of the scans. And so it's going to be... It's going to be published by Raid Studios sometime very soon in the spring, is the latest news.
That's awesome.
We've gotten three updates, I think, from the Raid Studios guys about the project. And so it seems like, you know, they're serious about getting it out there finally.
When that comes out, I'll definitely pick it up if there's non-Kickstarter copies floating around.
I can't imagine there won't be.
That'll be a good addition to my Canadian comics shelf.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. The oh my gosh, I'm brain farting. Gilbert. What was the name of the fellow that kind of relaunched it in Eclipse Comics in the 80s? Sheldon Gilbert? Oh, why am I brain farting? Anyways, bumped into
him. Because you're 50.
Yeah. I bumped into him either at Fan Expo or one of those conventions, and he had a hardcover of his interpretation of it, and I was like, this is awesome, like this is fantastic, like this is great. He goes, you want a sketch in it? And I'm like, yeah, is that extra? And he's like, no, and he just drew like this full page Mr. Monster sketch in the cover while him and his wife were or platonic partner or whatever relationship that is, just shot the poop with me while he was drawing it. It was fantastic, and I did him the disservice of completely forgetting what his name is.
I haven't read
Sheldon any, T. Gilbert, Gilbert T.
any Mr. Monster at all. So,
if only I had like internet devices.
If only had several internet devices at the ready.
I feel like we're running out of time though, so I don't know if I have enough time to look it up.
We are running out of time.
Is it Larry? No, wait.
Mr. Monster Eclipse. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dr. Stern, Mr. Michael T. Gilbert. Where did I get Sheldon from?
At least we got his name right. All right, so that's all the time we've got for this episode. You can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher.
All the good stuff.
And we'll be back for an extra special episode next week as we celebrate our 150th episode by giving you more of the exact same as we have the last 149.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo, take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy, I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.